So we continue our study in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And today we'll be looking at chapter 5. There's two verses, 7 and 8. But to get the feel of Paul's overall argument, we will be reading all the way to verse 14. 7 to 14. And as you turn, let me introduce the message. I remind you again that Paul's great argument in these two chapters, chapters 4 and 5, is that as Christians, we must walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called. We are no longer to walk as we once did, but we must live a different life. We have been born again. We have become a new creation in Christ. And therefore, Paul says, he's been reminding us in chapter 4, walk in holiness. Walk in holiness. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness, anger, malice, slander, all these evil things be put away from you. They have nothing to do with you anymore. And above all, as we turn to chapter 5, he said, walk in love. Walk in holiness, walk in love. Not as love defined by the world, but as you have been loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for you. That love. Walk in holiness, walk in love. And he says, this is our calling. This is our calling as Christians. But last week, as we saw, he knows that the place in which that we, you and I are called to live this out is not a perfect ideal world. It's a broken, sinful world. And therefore, if we are to walk in holiness and to walk in true love, there are certain things that as Christians we must never do. Things that as Christians we must never do. And remember that. Because Paul is not writing to the world, is he? He is writing to Christians. So when he talks about sexual immorality, impurity, anger, all these other things, Paul is not naive. He knows that these are real issues among the saints in church. He's not writing to the church out there. He's writing to the church in Ephesus. Christians. But these things should never be. Leave them. Have nothing to do with them. Because that's who you once were. But not anymore. We have been rescued from that. He called us out of that. So be who you are. Be who you are. That's been the call. Today now, though, he adds a new layer to his argument. A new layer to his argument. Now he introduces, as you will see in a moment, a new imagery. This vivid contrast between darkness and light. And the reason he introduces that imagery is to show you the utter impossibility of mixing the two. Light and darkness. Unholiness, holiness. Hatred, love. They cannot mix. So Paul wants to really double down on that and to show you, to give you a picture of this utter incompatibility of those two things within the Christian life. So, if you are there in chapter 5, hear the word of God, verses 7 through 14. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The word of the Lord. Amen. The whole point here in this passage, Paul says, he commands us to walk as children of light. And being a good teacher that he is, he always tells us how to do that, both negatively and positively. Walk as children of light. Not like this, but this. Now we're going to look to that next time. But today what I want to do is to step back from that and to ask a more fundamental question, to set us up for that question. How do we walk as children of light? But before that, we need to understand, if we are to understand how to walk as children of light, we need to understand what does it mean to be children of light? Am I a child of light? Are you a child of light? How do you know? See, this is the most important topic. So, we'll look into this topic today, and as we do, I pray that you will examine yourselves and pray that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes, because all truth, especially God's truth, is not something to be merely understood or analyzed, not even merely to be praised, but God's truth is always to be applied. You don't just sit and listen and say, that's pretty good, and walk away and not think about it. God's truth is always to be taken in and applied. So, as we listen, as we receive the Word of God, pray that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes, examine yourselves. So I have 3 points. Let's walk through them one by one. Point number one. The first one is this. Notice that the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is an absolute one. It's an absolute difference. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is not vague, it is absolute. Absolute, that's the point. Verses 7 and 8, look at this carefully. Paul says, therefore do not become partners with them. Why? Answer, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light. Absolute terms. You were, not anymore. You are. You see? You don't go back and forth. You were, not anymore. You are. Now, this is something that Paul has been telling us all along in chapters 4 and 5. In fact, he's been piling argument upon argument, but now he is giving us a picture, because arguments are good, but they sometimes, it sounds vague and abstract. Put off the old self. How? Put on the new self. How? I'm myself. I'm just one self. And Paul reasons, then argues. He unfolds the arguments, but now he gives us a picture. But think about this. Can light and darkness mix together? It's impossible, isn't it? That's what he is doing. He's just pulling all these other resources to make it land in our hearts. The two cannot mix, light and darkness. See, he gives us a picture, a clear picture of why that has to be. Because the difference, he says, between a Christian and a non-Christian is like the difference between darkness and light. You can't mix the two. You're either light or darkness. They're opposites, eternal opposites. They can never coexist. In the same way, says Paul, you are either a Christian or a non-Christian. There is no in-between. There is no half-Christian. There is no, I'm trying to be a Christian. There's no such thing. You're either light or darkness. You're either Christian or non-Christian. You're either married or you're single. There is no, I'm half-married. This is something so clear and so important that we must understand this very clearly. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And because of our relationship to him, he says in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. You see? What Paul is really getting at here is the New Testament doctrine of regeneration. Regeneration. That you have been born again. Again, I press this over and over again. It's not that you are merely improved, that you become a better person, that you become more patient, more understanding, more loving a person. That's not what Christianity is. It's not taking a man from the gutter and taking off his filthy rags and dressing him up and giving him a full makeover and he looks nice. That's not Christianity. Christianity is you're Lazarus. You're dead. You are a rotting corpse, buried in a tomb. And your only hope is if Jesus comes and says, Lazarus, come forth. That's your hope. The question is, do you want to be a better person? Do you want to find hope in life, a purpose in life? That's not the question. The question is, are you dead? Are you alive? That's the question. And it's not just you and me. It's all of us. The entire world. The question is, can these bones live? The valley of the dry bones. A Christian is someone over whom God Almighty says these words from Ezekiel 37. God says, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So that's what Paul is talking about here. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. See, a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. You have been born again. And that's why in verse 8 of our passage, if you read carefully, Paul puts it like this. You were, but now you are. And in fact, he says, at one time you were darkness, but now you are light. Again, see, absolute terms, fixed, permanent. You cannot mix light with darkness, eternal opposites. He puts it in 2 Corinthians 6:14. What fellowship has light with darkness? What fellowship has light with darkness? Now, at this point, some of you might be asking, wondering, but I sin. I'm not saying that you have to know the exact moment you pass from darkness to light. I'm not saying that you have to know. You have to be able to pinpoint to that particular moment or the particular way in which you pass from darkness to light. Because some people know, but many people don't. Like myself, I don't know when that happened for me. By the grace of God, that happened at an early age, and I cannot remember a time when I didn't confess Jesus as my Lord and believed all these things. So I'm not saying that you have to know how or when, but I am asking, you have to know whether this has taken place in your life at all. That's the question. That's the question. Has this radical change taken place at the core of your heart? You may not be able to pinpoint to that particular moment or the particular manner in which this happened to you, but do you at least know? Right now, can you say this about yourself? I don't know how this happened or when, but I know this. I am this now, not that anymore. That I know. Can you say that about yourself? That's the question. And if you say, but I still fall, I still stumble, I'm just an infant baby in Christ. That's not my question, was it? I did not ask you, are you mature? Are you growing? My question is, are you alive? Are you alive? See, you might be a tiny infant, weak, immature, but if the tiniest baby is just as alive as the fully grown adult, that's the question. Are you alive? Has this decisive change taken place in your heart? Can you at least say that about yourself? Again, you may not know when or how, but that it has happened, can you say that? Do you know that? You should be able to. Look at yourself, examine yourself. In the same way, you're either Christian or non-Christian, light or darkness. We must understand that very clearly. You don't move in and out. There is no half. There is no in between. Point number two. Notice then the nature of this difference, this radical difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. If the difference is so absolute, what is the nature of the difference? Verse 8. Notice how Paul describes that in a most interesting way. It's very precise. Verse 8, Paul says, at one time, you were in darkness, but now you are in the light. Is that what he says? No, he says, he doesn't say, you used to be in the dark, but now you came out into the light. That's not what he says. He says, he goes much deeper, and he says, you were darkness. But now you are light. See, you were darkness itself, but now you are light itself. That's what he is saying. He's saying something more fundamental, something more deep, deeper. What is Paul saying? He is saying, if you're not a Christian, then you're not only in the dark, but the darkness is in you. That's a crucial thing. You're not just in the dark, but the darkness is in you. That's what he is saying. You yourself are darkness. Your very heart at the core of your being is corrupt, sinful, dark. That's the point. In other words, the trouble with man by nature, with trouble with all of us by nature, apart from the intervening grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, by nature, all of us are what? Sinful, lost, dark. Dark. We are darkness. It's in the beginning. When God made the world, he made all things, and we were made beautiful, perfect, holy, good. There was this light in our conscience. But when we fell, when we sinned, that light has gone out. Darkness came in, and now we hate the light. It's not that we're just lost in darkness. We love darkness. Darkness is in our hearts. That's what happened. See, the prophet Isaiah, some 600 years before the coming of Jesus, he said, you know, when the Messiah comes, it will be like the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. That's what he says. So in Matthew, when Jesus is born, when Jesus comes into the world, Matthew quotes that very verse. And Matthew says this in Matthew 4, 16. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. So you would think, now that the people who were dwelling in darkness, they have seen a great light, that they will just run to Christ, run to the light and say, finally, the light has come. We were lost in the dark. Is that what happened? The light has come. Is that what happened? No, the opposite happened. The light has come, but they hated Jesus, rejected him, turned away from him, and killed him. Why? Why? The light has come. They were in the dark. The answer, John 3:19. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. The light has gone out. Darkness has come in. People love darkness. They hate light. Judgment of God. That's what Paul is saying. At one time, you were darkness. You were once like that. That's what he is saying. But he says, now you are light. Now you are light. You didn't just come into the light. There was something you didn't know before, but now you have come to know. It was knowledge that was missing. You were looking for something. You have come into the light. That's not what he says. You yourself have become the light. See, when you were born again in Christ, when you were made alive by the grace of God, the light that has gone out has come back in. You didn't step into the light. The light has come into you. You became the light. Paul puts it like this. How did that happen? 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, you have to get this. You didn't merely step into the light. The light came into you. You became the light. That's what Paul means when he says, you were darkness, but now you are light. So let's be careful with the language. Yes, it is true that by nature we are lost in darkness. But that's not all. We feel right at home in darkness. We love darkness. We hate the light. We might say, I'm in the dark here. Show me the light, and I'll follow. Be honest. I can't read your heart, but I can read the Word of God. The Word of God reads your heart. Tells us that by nature we love darkness. No one seeks for God, not one. We love We love the dark. When the light comes, it exposes our evil works. We hate the light. That's why we killed him. All the people who say, if Jesus would just show up, prove himself, then I'll believe. How naive. Don't be naive, because he did that one time 2,000 years ago. And they killed him. What makes you think that you will be any different? You're not. We are darkness. We love the dark. Light has to come into our heart. We have to be turned into light. Otherwise, we will hate the light. If you're a Christian this morning, examine yourself. Go ahead. Try to go back to darkness. See if you can really do it. I'm not saying you will never fall or stumble, but go ahead, try it. Everything in you will say, this is not who I am. You may persist in it for a time, but your nature, your changed nature, that very nature will militate against it. You cannot be at peace. You can't. You can never go back to that filth, because that's not who you are anymore. You are light, no longer darkness. Again, I'm not saying if you're a Christian that you will never sin, or even that you will never sin grievously. You will. We all do. I'm not naive. We read the apostles. We read about the apostles in the New Testament. How on the night that Jesus was betrayed, at the hour of his greatest need, all of them fled for their lives. Even Peter cursed Jesus 3 times. I don't know you. I don't know you. May you be cursed. He ran away. He deserted the Lord Jesus Christ. But you read through the rest of the book of Acts, or the rest of the New Testament. Did they continue in that cycle of abandonment and rejection and cowardice and fear? No. No. They came out of that and they sealed it with their blood. They began to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ with all boldness. They may fall and stumble here and there, but the trajectory of their lives is one of faithfulness. See, I am saying that you may stumble and fall, but a true Christian can never be at peace with darkness, because it goes against everything that you are now. It goes against your nature. You are no longer darkness. You are light. And don't we all go through this? All Christians go through this. When we fall flat on our faces, we have fallen, we sinned, and we stumbled, and you are torn inside, and you feel horrible, and you wonder, you know, am I even a Christian? Maybe I'm not a Christian. How can I call myself a Christian and do these things, these horrible things? Doubts come in and you wonder. But you ask yourself, why are you so torn inside? Why are you torn inside in the first place? I mean, before that didn't bother you at all. It didn't even occur to you that these things should be a conflict in your heart, in your conscience. You just did it. It's not sin. It's who cares? This is not a bad thing. But now, why do you feel conflicted? Why are you not at peace? In fact, you rolled your eyes and mocked those people who were struggling with those things, and you thought that you were the enlightened one, that they were in the dark, people trapped still in this religious guilt. What happened? What happened? There was not even a fight in your heart before. So why are you now so torn inside? It's because what used to taste so sweet in your mouth now tastes so bitter. The pleasure of sin is so fleeting, momentary, but the sting that remains hurts a lot more. And you begin to experience it. Why? Something has changed. Something has taken place. Someone has come into your heart. You are not what you used to be. So that when you fall, when you go back to that sin, and you thought that sin will give you pleasure that it used to do for you, but you find it was an empty promise. It was just a vapor in the wind. Gone in a moment, what remains is the sting of guilt. You have been born again. That's why. So I encourage you, do not despair when you seem to be fighting battles that you are just losing and losing and losing. And you think that you're constantly repenting over and over again for the same sins. Do not despair. Do not despair, because the fact that you are fighting at all, that you are struggling against this, that you are feeling torn inside, is the very sign that you have been born again because it didn't bother you at all before, but now it does. You're never at peace with it again. Born again. See, that's the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. The difference is not superficial. It's not something merely on the outside behavior. It's something more fundamental on the inside, what's at the inside, the core of your heart. It's an absolute difference. You see, so we have seen the absolute difference between a Christian and a non-Christian, and the nature of that difference, absolutely incompatible. At this point, the question I hope that all of you are asking then is this. You should be asking this question. If that's the case, if the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is that absolute, the nature that deep, that incompatible, then what is it that accounts for that difference? What is the reason? How do you cross over? What accounts for this radical difference? Point number three. And the answer is found in these most wonderful three words at the end of verse 8. We're just looking at verse 8, right? Paul says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." In the Lord, that's it. It's all in the Lord. What makes this decisive difference is union with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing without Him. It's all in Him. Christ is all in all. Here's how it works. Are you a Christian this afternoon? Are you a Christian? If you are, then how did you become a Christian? You look back, think back to yourself. How did you become a Christian? How did this change, radical change, take place? You should know you are a Christian. What happened is the question. Do you know? Can you tell me? Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4, this was the obstacle that you had to overcome. How did you do it? He says, in their case, the unbelievers, the God of this world, that is Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel. And you had no idea that that was taking place. So how did you overcome that obstacle? Do you know the answer? You're a Christian. It happened. We just looked at it. Two verses later, right? 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. One thing for sure, you became a Christian, not by any human decision, not by human works, but by the sheer grace of God. That much you know. At the beginning of creation, when the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. This same God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shone in your heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's how it happened. He didn't just grab you by the neck, pull you out of darkness, and just throw you into the light and just called you, "Look, see." That's not what happened. He threw the light into your heart. He turned on the switch in your heart at the same time. Why? What for? So that when you come into the light, when the light of the revelation, this knowledge of the glory of God, comes shining into you, by nature, what you will do is to abhor that light. Run away from that light because you love darkness. That light is blinding. You hate the light. You will reject it and run away. But God shines the light into your heart at the same time so that when you see that light, now instead of running away from it, you begin to see for the first time the glory of it. And you realize this is beautiful and glorious. Now it makes sense to me. Now I see that this is what I want. This is the treasure of my life. You see, both things need to take place. You don't just need to be dragged out of darkness and thrown into the light. Then you'll be like a roach. You run away to darkness. That's what it means to be a sinner. You don't love the light. At the same time, God has to change your heart. Holy Spirit must come in, throw the light so that you might be able to see this for what it really is, the glory of God. See, you are doubly dependent, entirely, completely dependent on the work of God for your salvation. He does it from the beginning to the end. From getting the knowledge, to seeing it, to enjoying it, to treasuring it, to glory in it, all these things from the very beginning to the end, you are completely dependent on God's grace. That's how it happens. Now then, from where does this revelation, this knowledge come? How does God just turn on the light in your heart? We skipped a verse between 4 and 6. This is the answer. Where is this light of the revelation coming from? Verse 5, Paul says, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord." This revelation, this knowledge comes as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That's how you become a Christian. That's how anybody becomes a Christian. There is no other way. Because Romans 10:17, Paul says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. I know, if you're a true Christian, that's your experience. Perhaps it comes in different ways. I said, you don't know exactly when or how, but this much you know. Perhaps you are listening to the gospel. Perhaps you've never been to church, but you came to church one day, and you heard the gospel for the first time. Or perhaps you heard it over the radio, or perhaps from a video clip from your phone. Or perhaps you've been to church thousands of times. You grew up in church and you heard the gospel all your lives and it didn't make any sense to you. It didn't ring any bells. It didn't seem all that beautiful. You knew all the facts, but they weren't that glorious. But whether you heard it for the first time or for 1,000 millionth of times, one day something was different about the proclamation. You heard the proclamation, and as you heard, suddenly you're not hearing things that you didn't know. But it's as if light has just turned on. And now it doesn't seem that irrelevant or boring anymore. You begin to listen. Your ears perk up. You sit straight in your chair. And you begin to pay attention. Not because you understand everything that the preacher is saying, but because you see that there's something different this time. You pay attention. You listen. You see, before, the God of this age was blinding your mind. But now, by the grace of God, He has turned on the light. Now you're opening your eyes. You knew all the facts. The devil knows all the facts. They just don't glory in it. They don't love it. You knew all the facts. But when the Holy Spirit turns on the light in your heart, now you begin to taste its sweetness. You begin to see its glory. And you begin to see something of the glory of God. How holy He really is. How terrifying He really is. And yet how merciful He is. And in light of His greatness and righteousness and holiness, you begin to realize that I am a sinner. That I have sinned against this glorious God. And you tremble. And that for my sin, what I need is forgiveness of my sin. Otherwise, I will be damned in hell because of His wrath. His wrath is coming. And now you are terrified. And then and only then do you find the cross of Christ beautiful. He is my refuge. He is my shelter. And you run to Him as never before. And you glory in Him. And as you hear the promise, how does this happen? When Jesus says, "The times of ignorance I have overlooked, but now I command all men everywhere to repent and believe." The time is fulfilled. Repent and believe in the gospel. You hear that and you don't decide. You run. You fly to Him at once. If I repent and believe, then I will be made right with this Almighty God. At that sweet news, you jump in joy and you run to Him. That's how it happens. That's what happens. That's what you did if you're a Christian. Perhaps you received in weeping, or perhaps you received in quietly kneeling by your bedside one day. there wasn't a great emotional turmoil or uproar, but one way or the other, that's what you did. You confessed your sins. You believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and now you follow him. You see him as your treasure. Is that you today? Look back to your experience. Aren't you a Christian this afternoon? Is that what happened? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Why would you go back to that darkness? Why would you go back to that darkness? There is no rest there, and you are weary and heavy laden. Aren't we all? You are weary and heavy laden. You have no rest. They're looking for rest. Jesus has come to the light. He says, come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he says, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. That's the promise. Come to him. And if you have come, many of you have come to the light, and you are light. Then remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk in holiness. Walk in love. And walk as the children of light. Don't look back to the world with longing eyes. Why would you want to do that? Look to him. Look to him. I know there are days when we stumble and fall, and the devil will come with his accusation, and all the flaming darts are flying at you, and you are just barely holding on. And you feel like, this time I'm just going down. I can't make it. I'm going to lose this battle. We all come to that point. But when that happens, you need to listen to the voice of Jesus Christ, not listen to the devil who says, if you just come back to me, I can give you all the world. That's the temptation. Why am I fighting like this? What if I just go back to it? I can have it all. The devil says, go ahead, come back to me. I'll give you all these kingdoms of the world. But remember how Jesus Christ fought him off with the word of God. Listen to his voice. Remember the words of Paul last Sunday. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for account of these things the wrath of God comes upon you. And be terrified, tremble at those words, and fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to him. Listen to him. If you have forsaken the world to follow Jesus, if you have forsaken the world to follow Jesus, you need to realize that you have left refuge for a diamond. The devil will have you believe the otherwise. But the truth is, if you have forsaken the world to follow Jesus, you have left dung, refuse, for the diamond of Jesus Christ. That's what you did. It's a glorious thing. It's a glorious thing. And we will not grow weary. We will not grow weary of waiting upon the Lord, because we remember how long and how graciously the Lord Jesus Christ waited upon us. He did that. He did that. And now he calls us, come to me. Wait upon me. I will come. I will deliver. So let us not grow weary. Let us not go back to the world. Let us not look back with longing eyes, but fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. Walk in holiness. Walk in love. And walk in the light, because we have left behind the filth of the world for the diamond of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he graciously waited upon you for how long? You don't even know. You don't even know. And he will give you the strength to follow him. May your joy and adoration in Christ increase as you fight that fight. And may God be glorified through that fight.